Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
This podcast is brought to you by no one. If you're interested in sponsoring this broadcast, email us at c4podcast@chrisklem.net. Thank you.
Come on.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of Chris Klem's Cavs Cast. I am Chris Klem, your host, as always. I appreciate all the support I've gotten so far. There's already a ton more subscribers than I would have expected at this point, so thank you very much for that. And we already got some emails and voicemails, which we will be going over later in the cast. You should be well aware of the fact that this is NBA's All-Star Weekend. And there's actually going to be three Cavs participating this weekend. There's going to be, obviously, LeBron James is starting for the Eastern Conference in the All-Star Game. And Kyrie Irving was named as a backup in the reserve for the All-Star Game. But, huge announcement now. Hit the music. Your 13th. Maybe 14th after the second injury replacement, member of the world team, representing the sophomore class in the NBA and the country of Australia, Matthew Dellavedova. I know that's going to make a lot of Cavs fans mad. For some reason, everybody hates Delly. They hate him, man. But he is shooting 42% from three-point line. The guy is a little... He's a spark plug, man, and he's always playing defense. He's always giving it his all. He doesn't make bad decisions. He doesn't turn it over much. He doesn't score much, but he doesn't try to. He's a great backup point guard. But he is playing a few too many minutes right now. He's playing over 20 minutes a game, which is not exactly an accurate comment because while he is averaging that over the whole season, he was starting, believe it or not, for a while before those trades happened, and he was playing a lot more, but I think he is a fine backup. We're not getting Mo Williams in the Cavs anymore. We're not going to see the reunion of Mo Gotti and King James. It's not happening. He got traded to Charlotte. I'm ride or die with Delly, okay? And the only complaint I can really make about Delly isn't even him. It's Fred McLeod. I hate at this point, Delly Trey. But the voicemail I'll be playing for you later has a lot more to say about Fred McLeod than I could do justice. Although, he's got to make his references something that Austin Carr can understand. He had no clue who the hell Karch Karai was when he made that reference. He was just like, okay, partner. That was his comment. And I get that that's Austin's comment. 95% of the time when he's not doing one of his catchphrases, but he seemed more lost than he normally did. All right, since we last spoke, the Cavs have had two games, and in a weird, I don't know if it's some sort of pseudo-balance, they beat the Heat 113-93, and then they lost to the Bulls the next night 113-98. And those games couldn't have been any more different. The game against the Heat was Wednesday night, February 11th, and Mozgov was a beast, man. Tina Fey, Mozkow, shout out to Stan Young holding it down in the Bay Area, was huge. 20 points without even breaking a sweat, blocking shots, rebounding all over the place. And I think David Griffin was probably going to get GM of the year just for somehow getting LeBron to sign here, even though he had nothing to do with that. LeBron was going to do what LeBron's going to do. But the trades he's made in season have been nothing short of spectacular. And the fact that they've won 14 out of their last 16 games has almost everything to do with those trades, in my opinion. But the next night, Thursday night, against the Bulls, they looked like the All-Star break had already started. I get Kevin Love was out after he got his eye scratched by Mario Chalmers. I know from my days of playing basketball, there's always like one dude who's got super long fingernails that's always scratching the hell out of somebody. And it's not cool. Trim your goddamn fingernails. First of all, it's gross. You get the little dirt particles under there and it's sweaty. And secondly, you can scratch somebody's eye and then they can't even play the next game. And that's not very cool.
I spit in the face of people who don't want to be cool.
I think Mario Chalmers, if this was the playoffs, would have done more for the Heat by taking Kevin Love out of the next game than he would have by anything he did on the court. Luckily, it's the second to last game before the All-Star break, and it's meaningless. But maybe this is some long-term strategy from Eric Spoelstra. You're going to be seeing a lot of Heat players with pimp nails come playoff time. So the game against the Bulls was the battle for the Central Division Championship, and it really sucked because I am a diehard Cavs fan and I live in Chicago, but I cannot afford to go to the game last night, and that really made me upset. So it was already, I was already mad because I would love to go. I've been to a couple games at the United Center so far, and the Cavs have won, and it's been awesome. People get mad, but you know, the Cavs were, so they didn't really care that bad. Like, oh, we lost to the Cavs in February. Oh, well, too bad we're still going to be the number two seed in the playoffs. Things are different. I was driving around downtown. I dropped my friend off at the bus. And as soon as the door opened, a guy yelled, the Cavs, because I have a Cavs logo on my car. That never happened when the Cavs' best player was Kyrie Irving. He's the second best player now. But last year, nobody even gave a shit about the Cavs. And now everybody hates them. Is a professional wrestling fan, I kind of love it. I mean, who is better than the heels? Like Ric Flair, Roddy Piper, these guys getting all the attention. I want the Cavs to kind of embrace that. Now, I don't think that's going to happen considering Jason Lloyd from the Akron Beacon Journal said that Kevin Love is a homebody that never likes to go out and that Kyrie Irving is incredibly shy and bashful. But I know LeBron can pull their weight for him himself. We all saw what he did in Miami. I don't care how much he's grown up. He's still the guy who got in trouble for getting a Hummer from his mom and then commented on it by driving a remote control Hummer on the court before high school games. The dude is a born asshole. He needs to quit being nice and embrace his heel nature. And that would have helped tonight because he was god-awful. LeBron had the worst plus-minus on the team at negative 27, which is kind of a joke. And the second was Tristan Thompson, who was 9 behind that at negative 18. Now they're only going to be ahead of the Bulls in the season series 2-1, which might hurt come playoff time. The only player on the entire Cavs with a positive plus-minus was Iman Shumpert at plus 8. And Iman Shumpert, I am a huge, huge fan of this guy's game. I like the way he defends, and I love his three-point shooting ability. There needs to be some sort of incentive for Iman Shumpert to not dribble the ball, because the dude seems like he puts the ball on the floor and turns it over as soon as he puts it on the floor. He has got the worst handles of any guard in the NBA, which is insane because he's so good at so many other areas. He looks like he just learned how to dribble 3 weeks ago, or that he's been watching and-one mixtapes from 2002 and decided to bust off every single move the professor did, but he forgot to realize that he's never touched a basketball before in his life. We need an incentive program. I don't know if we could start a Kickstarter for this or what. that every single time he doesn't put the ball on the floor, he gets taken out to dinner or ice cream or whatever motivates him best, the strip club, the same way you treat little kids, because that dude is three away from being a great player. As long as he's going to keep dribbling, though, he's only going to be better than, slightly better than average. I love Shumpert, I love his hair, and he just needs to stop. Before I get to the emails, I want to say on a serious note that right now my three favorite people on Twitter to follow for the Cavs are three beat writers. One from the Beacon Journal, at Jason Lloyd, L-L-O-Y-D, ABJ is probably my favorite. Every night he writes final thoughts like 5 or 6 hours after the games and gives a lot of tidbits in it. It is probably the best Cavs-centric reading you can do on Twitter. If you're listening to this, you probably already follow him. And also, the other one is Dave McMenon. I don't know if I'm saying that right. He's the ESPN beat writer for the Cavs. It's at Mc10. But that's Mcten. He's another great guy. He writes a story in his blog every night after the Cavs game, which is another thing worth checking out. And then finally, at Chris B. Haynes, that's Chris spelled the way I spell my name, B. H-A-Y-N-E-S. He's the new Cavs beat writer for Northeast Ohio Media Group, you know, Cleveland.com, Plain Dealer, those guys. And I think he came from Portland before this, and he's great. And he gets a lot of idiotic people tweeting at him, and he is not afraid to treat them badly, and I respect him so much for that. So those are my three Cavs writers that I think you should follow on Twitter. Before we get to the email and the voicemail, one thing that's been coming up a lot lately is that there seems to be a need for the Cavs to get a fourth big man, because against the Bulls, Mozgov got in trouble and Kevin Love was out, and then they were hopeless. It was basically Tristan Thompson playing center, LeBron playing power forward, and LeBron barely seemed engaged in the game to begin with. They need somebody there. If this happens in the playoffs, they're probably going to be that's not good. So they need to get somebody. And I was looking around at some of the options. Obviously, you could make a trade, a buyout. If Kevin Garnett gets bought out, you could try to sign him because the Cavs have an open roster spot. But that's where there's kind of going to be some trouble because they already shot their wad with the Mozgov trade. And that was huge to find a quality starting 7-footer like that. When it comes to the fourth big man, there are kind of not many options. Samuel Dalembert is a name people have been throwing around, but he got cut by New York, which means he was so lazy and crazy that they were willing to cut him from infecting the rest of the team, which is already probably the laziest, least effective team in the NBA. And another option from the Knicks is Amari Stoudemire, but I don't see how he would fit considering he's kind of undersized and he doesn't have nearly the athleticism that he used to, although he would wear goggles. At least he's got that going for him. Other than that, Kevin Garnett, and I'm pretty sure he wants to kill LeBron still, so that might not be a good move. And also, I think the Cavs have too many white guys for Kevin Garnett because he's also known for bullying people that are smaller than him and his white teammates because he thinks they won't fight back. Ask Wally Zerbiak.
I got a letter from the government the other day. I opened and read it. It said they were suckers.
All right, our first email comes from John Hoffner, and it's titled Questions for the Podcast. Hey, Chris, love the show. Thanks, buddy. Here's my question. Both J.R. Smith and Iman Shumpert sport a very ambitious hairstyle. And achieving that perfect look can take a lot of trial and error to find the right barber who understands exactly what you want. Having now recently relocated to Cleveland, do you think it will be frustrating for both players to start from scratch with a new barber, or do you expect they'll be flying back to New York for haircuts just to leave nothing to chance, at least through the end of the season? We all know the pitfalls of walking into a new barber shop and hoping for the best. See Timofey Mozgov, January 21st versus the Utah Jazz. Thanks, John Hoffner. You know, John, that's a very good question. When Mozgov got his haircut, it just looked like somebody took a clippers to his head and kind of wiped up and down a few times, and that was it. I don't think Mozgov is necessarily going to be picked as one of the best-looking guys in the NBA like Kevin Love was. I don't see GQ Russia coming over to write a story about the man, the myth, the Mozgov. And they go in the locker room and see Timofey eating a whole extra large pizza by himself and speaking three words in English. Actually, that would be a pretty cool article to read. Iman Shumpert is known for his towering fade, much like Kid from the Kid and Play series. They're rich enough that he probably has a barber on retainer. He might not have private jet money, but he could probably bring the guy over twice a week on the Megabus. You buy that ticket for him, it's not that much. And, you know, pick him up, give him his zip car, let him take an Uber, I don't know. But I would think that's probably what he's most known for, because while he's good, His haircut's way more established and well-loved around the league than Amon Shumpert himself. J.R. Smith, on the other hand, it looks like he's just kind of cut it all off for the most part, so I think he's just given up. I like that, though, because clearly whatever he was doing in New York was not working, and he's been a great addition to the Cavs. So, John, thank you for the question. I hope you'll write back. Thank you for listening. I hope everything's well with you out there in Cavs land. We also got a voicemail this week from Damon Kamen. I think I've been mispronouncing his name for the last 5 years wrong. I believe that's how it's pronounced. I used to call him Damon Kamen. He has a lot of good points to make about Fred McLeod, and you're going to hear him right now.
I think it's time to replace Fred McLeod. I don't know how you feel about him. I know a lot of people were upset when Red Guy got the boot, but look, it's not that he doesn't follow the action well. It's just he keeps throwing out references that are 40 years past relevant, and no one understands what the hell he's talking about. I remember there was a game when someone was on a cold shooting streak, and he said, "Oh, he's colder than a gallon of Lawson's milk." And then it's like, what are you talking about, Fred McLeod? No one knows what you're talking about. And then he would, during Austin, of course, he always goes, "Austin, remember Lawson's milk? Oh, it was ice cold. It was ice cold Lawson's milk." It's like, well, what? When milk was delivered to your door? What the f*** are you talking about, Fred McLeod? Shut the f*** up. I can't stand, like, he keeps trying to just put flair on with a broadcaster's tone onto and then hope that it sticks and that it's just like we won't notice that it has no value whatsoever. Like after the game when Kyrie went off for 55 and it's closing and it's fading away from the queue and he goes, "Oh, Kyrie's going to want to look into the archives for this one, and if he doesn't, I'll buy him the DVD for $14.95. It's like, what the f*** are you talking about? Why would you say that? What? Why would you say you're going to call... You're going to buy him a DVD for $14.90. Why give the price of the DVD? Why give the price of the DVD that you're going to buy of Kyrie's highlights? I just, and that was his closing statement to finish off a historic night in Cavs history. I don't know. I can't stand him. And I wish that there was a camera on Austin and Fred so you could see when Austin manhandled him by accident. Because Fred is a very small man. He's maybe 5'5". He's a tiny, tiny guy. And Austin's really big. And you can always, if you listen closely, you can hear, like, Austin will get excited, and you'll hear Fred go, "Yeah, God, take it easy. You knocked my hair loose," or something like that. And he's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, Bobby. I just get excited. I'm just trying to show you how it works." And I just want to see Austin throw his elbows up and knock Fred around, and I wish that there was a simulcast of the game and of Fred and Austin, so you could also see when Fred cues up Austin for every one of his catchphrases, like Tristan blocks a shot, and then, Austin doesn't say, "Get that weak stuff out of here," because his stomach turns every time he says it, and then Fred has to nudge him and be like, "Oh," and he's like, "Oh, yeah, get that weak stuff out of here. Hey, you want me to dance for you, Fred?"
"How you doing, man? What are you doing?"
"Oh, here we go. AC, we got
to
get
you cute. But I have to show Ron how to
throw the hammer down."
"You can't help yourself, Jimmy."
"I love it.
Deep in the queue, roll the hammer down.
The line on the side is taking over the game.
Get that big stuff out of here.
Oh, going to the basket. What in the world is going on?"
Well said. If there's anything I could add to that, it's I really hate when he says "off a rubber rim" 8 times a game and burning Akron rubber. There's no more rubber in Akron, okay? He's burning Indian rubber, if anything. There goes any chance Fred McLeod will ever come on this program. Well, that's it for this week. I'm Chris Klemm. This has been Chris Klemm's CavsCast, the C4 podcast. Check us out. We're on iTunes now. Tell your friends. Tell your mom. Tell your dad. Tell your wife. Tell your husband. Tell your daughter. Tell everybody I've run out of relationships. Just tell everyone you know. It's going to only get better from here. Next week, we'll be back with 2 episodes recapping the All-Star break, and I'm going to try to get an exclusive interview with Timofey Mozgov. I'm Chris Klemm at Chris_Klemm on Twitter, and all of you have a very blessed All-Star weekend. Chris Chris Clem's Cavs Cast is brought to you by Chris Clem. The Cleveland Cavaliers do not support, endorse, or in any way approve of this podcast. If you'd like to get a hold of us, our phone number is 330-822-2296. Or you can email me at c4podcast@chrisclem.net. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V26 Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Visit Lowe's and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 7-9 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Maximum initial battery voltage measured without a workload is 20 volts. Nominal voltage is 18.